everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 446. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel. And joining me, as always, actually, I'm joining them, are your friends and mine, Steve, the door-to-door geek McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive Ardini. Hey, gentlemen, how are things?
Hey, Mark. Things are good. It warmed back up here. We've had tons of rain. And there's just this little crispness in the air, though. Even as hot as it was today, you can just feel that the end is near.
Well, there's pumpkin and spice everywhere you look, so that must mean something, right?
Yes, PSLs are kicking. I can see that. I don't like pumpkin spice. I don't know. There's something about it. It just like makes my throat scratchy. I don't dig it.
Right. It's cinnamon and nutmeg, pretty much. And maybe some clove. It's the spice you put on pumpkin, hence pumpkin spice. So you think when Android gets to P, they'll call it pumpkin spice? So anything interesting and exciting going on in your lives, guys?
I got an election coming up.
Well,
that's pretty
good
crazy.
Luck with that.
I had a big rummage sale last weekend.
That's what you did with your holiday? You sold stuff?
Yeah, for 3 days I had a rummage sale. But you know what? I got rid of a lot of stuff. In the end, we had one van full that went to Goodwill. So that was nice. We had a lot of stuff we had to get rid of. And I made enough money to buy a battery for my car. So living la vida loca, Mark.
I went bowling on Monday. Took my family out to the local bowling lanes. And I have a ball. It was my grandfather's. It's not really mine. But this thing's 70 years old, right? He bought it in the... Wow. In the 40s, probably, when he was a teenager, and everybody bowled. So I take this with me, and I look like a pro walking in. Hey, he's got his own ball. And there were shoes that came with it, but he wore a size 8. I wear a size 15. So I don't wear the shoes.
But your fingers fit in the hole?
Not really, holes? No. But I just make it work anyway, because it's not like I care. But anyway, that was my point. I go in there, and people expect me to do well because I come in with my own ball and I have this thing that doesn't fit me and I suck but I have a lot of fun and that's all I care about. So
do you leave the aviators on the entire time you bowl or do you take them off?
I should have done that. That would be good. No, I don't have the aviators. I have the turtle, tortoise shell frame, amber, with the gradient.
Nice. Hey, so is it cosmic bowling there? Did they have all the crazy lights?
I think that's an option there, like after dark or whatever, but, that's not what they had there. We did have it's been a long time. It's been like a decade since I went bowling. And, this is a modern lane. It just opened a few months ago. I didn't know that bumpers could pop up, individually per user. So you could, there's a tablet there. You set it up and you tap the bumpers. See, the last time I went bowling, they had to go drag pieces of foam out and lay them in the gutters. So I kept telling the people at the desk, we're going to need bumpers. And they were like, okay. And then a few minutes later, I was like, we need bumpers over here. Okay. And then one of my kids, of course, was playing with the tablet.
Quit telling us how bad you are, dude.
One of the kids was playing with the tablet, and she tapped the button that said bumper, and it went pink, and it popped up. And I was like, oh, all right. Now that's why they think I'm such an idiot.
That's cool.
The last time I went family bowling was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So my youngest was like 4 or 5. My oldest was like 8 or so. And when my youngest bowled, he made female tennis-like grunt sounds when he was bowling. So then me and my other son started making grunt sounds when we were bowling. And us three thought it was absolutely hysterical. Everybody else with us and us thought we all had mental deficiencies of some kind.
And everybody was right. It's a win-win situation. It was funny and you're mentally deficient. So it worked out.
To a degree, yes. Yes. Yes.
So that was, but the other part of the story was after bowling for an hour and a half, it was almost 3 games and chucking this 14-pound ball around, I hurt in places I didn't remember I had. And it was just basically I paid a whole lot of money for an organization to remind me how old I am.
Oh, man. That's not fun.
Yeah, see, I've heard that same analogy being made about yoga. Yeah.
Oh, but I could see that.
Speaking of yoga, I think I found the next piece of hardware Android-wise that I'm salivating over. Lenovo made an announcement, I believe earlier this week, maybe last week, about a new laptop 2-in-1 device is what they call it. And it's a Lenovo Yoga Book. Not all the specs are known, okay? You can get it with Android starting at $499 or with Windows 10 on it starting at, I think it was $549. So it wasn't a big price difference. It's a 1.5-pound 2-in-1 laptop. So you can take the screen off and use it just like a tablet. A customized Android 6.0. And they're already talking about what they're going to do to put 7.0 on it. So they're actively acknowledging it. So it's a more desktop-like interface, a.k.a. the Remix OS-like interface. Comes with a stylus. But here's the gimmick. 10-plus-hour battery life is what they're saying. It's going to use a new Atom 5X processor, I believe is the model number. It's a brand-new processor, so supposedly crazy battery life. But here's the gimmick. The keyboard is not a keyboard. It's a keyboardless 2-in-1 laptop, and the keyboard is a touch-sensitive screen. So your bottom half of the laptop is an Android keyboard with Android keyboard-like functionality when it comes to autocomplete or even swipe. You can swipe type on this thing. But here's the real like bumper kicker extraordinary part. After all that, the keyboard, which is actually just a screen, which is touch sensitive, you can also put like a paper over top of it, use these custom pens, draw on the paper, and it will actually be like Wacom tablet with over 2,000 different levels of pressure sensitivity, and you can draw on it. So you can use it for like an artist type device. The reason I'm salivating over this is, to me, this is the perfect podcast research rig. So when you're live on a podcast and you need to type and you need to do research, it's a touch screen. There will be no sound coming off of it unless you literally like slam your fingers on the key. That alone is making me want this device, because I bought literally 15 different silent or quiet keyboards. Every one I bought, I returned. Because none of them are silent, none of them are quiet. And this promises, without even making the promise, that it's a quiet keyboard, that is going to be a quiet keyboard.
Interesting.
I don't see that you can actually remove the screen, though. You can fold the other one back behind it. I don't think it's detachable, the one screen from another. But it's still...
In one of the videos...
It's still thin enough, though.
Well, yeah, it's thinner when it's closed than a AAA battery.
Nice.
Was the comparison I heard. Yeah, to me it's like 1.5 pounds. That to me is the ultimate kicker. 1.5 pound, 10 hours of battery life, and it's running Android. I don't know.
I like it.
The only word that comes to mind is sexy.
I hope you buy it. I think it looks nice. Looks like if I needed a laptop, that would be my next one. I'm thinking, but I don't, so you need to get it.
Right. Well, that, and to me, it's the perfect travel device because it's 10 hours of battery life, 1.5 pounds. Very easy to, quote unquote, lug around and not be a, you know, encumbrance to your travels. And I really don't want to lie to you people. I will entertain the idea of Windows 10 on it, but in all realistic, there's no chance in hell I'm getting Windows 10 on it.
No.
And here's the thing, starting at $449, to me, in my mind, maybe it's just rose-colored glasses right now, but this device is almost at the price point to where this thing might sell and people spring up around it making custom ROMs for it. I don't know. And not that I'm stressed about custom ROMs, because I don't need root on a tablet device or on... You know, all I need root on really is my phone, and I really don't need it. It's just a, you know, warm and comfy feeling on a phone.
Does it give any idea of what the, like, resolution or what kind of a display that keyboard side is? Like, could other things be displayed on there other than a keyboard?
I'll say I'm sure, but no. The only stuff we hear about is the other side of the screen, which they say it's only, quote-unquote, 1080p, I want to say. Which, that to me, is one of the reasons why they can say they have 10 hours worth of battery life. If it was a super high resolution display, you know, that would definitely hurt the battery life.
I like that hinge too. Well, that's really cool looking.
What's the name of this device?
It's a Lenovo Yoga Book. And Yoga Book is two words. Sorry, two words.
You might have said that, but I didn't hear it earlier.
Okay. Does it have a place to store the pen?
No, I don't believe so. Because I believe the pen is literally thicker than the entire device.
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks like a really nice 2-in-1 tablet, man.
I wonder what that feels like to type on that flat, responseless keyboard.
Well, the two things I know about Android is, number one, they can give you an audible or even a slight vibration when you hit the key right. I will quote the, I believe, Material podcast. Hypothetically, when you're typing, if you're like halfway between the O and the P, but you're really closer to the P, but because on Android, they know, well, you probably meant O. Those kinds of things might actually help in the inaccuracies coming across as accurate anyway. But I do know that there are technologies out there where they could have, but then it would have been like a $2,000 device, had a little bit of the screen rise up when in keyboard mode to let you feel the keyboard, but that would have made the price crazy. What I like about it is when you're not using the keyboard, the bottom panel basically goes complete jet black. There's something about that I like. And by default, it's a backlit, quote unquote, keyboard. I mean, I'm just infatuated with it right now. It's not coming out for at least 3 weeks. So in the 3 weeks, I might look at it and say, nah, but I don't think I am. I think I'm going to still be just as infatuated.
To me, this looks like the electronic tablet for paper lovers. And maybe that's why you like it, because you like paper more than I do, and you like to draw and annotate. Just for me, it's like all the drawbacks of paper with a computer.
Well, the thing is, I don't like to draw. I haven't drawn since 8th or 9th grade. And when I did draw, my drawings were not people or fruit. They were geometric things because, you know, I'm disturbed. But I do think that I could like drawing, to be honest, and this is one of those cheesy words I hate using, for the simple therapy of it. To just take my mind out of things, sit down and draw, de-stress, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
Realistically, I might literally draw on it one time for 30 seconds. And I'm ready to, you know, do that and not think, oh man, I just threw away my money because it's a 10-hour Android laptop.
Here's the deal breaker for me. And I know this sounds like I'm joking. I'm really not. When it's propped up in tablet mode with a keyboard behind it, the word book is upside down and backwards. I could not watch a video with that staring at me the whole time. I just couldn't.
I draw cars all the time, Dor. You know, like, I'll probably draw like 7 cars a day, just sitting there, like if I'm on the phone with somebody or something. I love drawing cars. Hey, Lenovo, they're kind of a pretty big name in the computer business, right? They like bought all of IBM's computer sales, right?
They're like the number 3 distributor in the world, yeah.
Yeah, in this Yoga Book ad, I don't know if we're getting played here, but they don't even have Android spelled correctly. I posted that in the chat. So I'm just wondering.
Well, the devil's advocate is
Intel.
They're not native English speakers, maybe?
I don't know. That's sloppy. See, that bothers me more than the book being sideways looking at the screen or upside down.
Okay. So we're at, in the video, how long into the video, do you know?
In the video?
You said in the video.
Oh, no, on the website where it says enjoy cinema level sound and video.
Well, that's not what you said.
I'm sorry. On the website.
Enjoy cinema level sound and video. Not only is the yoga great, and Google Play, your favorite Android. You know what that is?
What's an Android?
And now I'm just making excuses for them. That is an example of a paper town. They put that misspelling there purposely just to see just so they could see who is going on their website and copying and pasting stuff and then posting it as their own content. And that's my excuse on behalf of them because I really like this device.
So it's a honeypot. My favorite thing about it, honestly, is that hinge. I want that hinge on every laptop I buy from now on.
I want that hinge on everything, like my cars and everything.
Yeah. To be just very blunt and very honest with you guys, I literally cannot stop thinking about this device since the first time I saw it like a week ago.
So let me ask you a more philosophical question. Is Android the right OS for an everyday general purpose laptop?
The easy answer, no, not even close. Current state of Android, it's not even laptop friendly, number one. Number two, the apps are not laptop friendly. You know what I mean? So I have to say no with that again. My experience, though, with Remix OS is the interface, that's tackleable. You can make that a daily driver-friendly style interface. Remix is not, or I would say Jide is not a multi-billion dollar company with developers and everything else on their side. They're a homegrown team of like 15 people who are making this happen. Lenovo has the people, I'll say this. The question is are they going to keep it up? Are they going to like do security updates? Are they going to, you know, do that kind of thing? Because if they do, I can see this experience being laptop friendly enough and end user friendly enough to do all the Facebooking you would like to do, all of the YouTubing you would like to do, and all of the basic content creation you can do. Because like with Office 365 and Google Docs, that gets you, I think, a lot of the business, the very basic business stuff into an acceptable range. It's still going to take some end user training and some end user acceptance on it not being perfect, but I definitely think it can be.
Yeah.
Now it's really
so I was getting my hair cut today, and the lady cutting my hair felt the need to chat with me. Apparently that's in the contract. When you go to a $10 mm-hmm. haircut place, they have to talk with you. I'd rather just cut my hair, frankly. But anyway, she asked me what I did for a living, and I said, I do computers. That's my standard answer, because no, people can't understand what I do who do what I do. So I just say, I do computers. And so she said, oh, I hate computers. I don't even have a computer. I said, do you have a phone? She said, yeah. I said, then that's your computer. And my point to that is that for most people, well, maybe not most people, a growing number of people, a growing percentage of the population, the phone is their computing platform of choice. My mom, for example, 74 years old, has a laptop and a phone. She does not use the laptop. She uses the phone with a big magnifying glass because her eyesight's bad. Instead of using the 14-inch screen on the laptop, she uses the 5-inch screen on the phone with a big magnifying glass. Because there's something sticky about that interface, something intimate about that interface. But what you said, Dor, is creation. It's always been the problem. Content creation. Now, most people don't create content. So for the general purpose thing, but for example, this yoga book, that's what they're all about. That everything that you're seeing here is about creation of content and using the ancient art of handwriting, cursive handwriting at that. Who even writes cursive anymore? And so it's like they're trying to shove an old practice into new technology. And I'm just not sure that I'm on board with that. I think that mobile OSs are good for that, and you need a full-on non-mobile OS for non-mobile stuff. But the OS makers don't agree with me on that. Everybody is trying to make this hybrid one OS to rule them all. And you know, and those hybrid OSs never take off in places where people create, in enterprises, in businesses, in places where people crunch numbers in databases and in spreadsheets. Those OSs never take off because you're just trying to cram a standing in line interface into a business environment. I just don't think it can work. I don't think it's a hardware problem. I don't think it's a software problem. Nah. I think it's a use problem.
I don't agree. I think software can fix. When you say create, I think of creativity in an artist. I think that this. People who do sketches, and a lot of people still use pencils.
Right. So I've already stipulated that if you're using ancient practices, this is okay. But that's 2% of the population that uses ancient practices for their daily work.
Yeah, there's a lot of engineers out there that carry pencils.
Yeah, like Bill Nye. He's not a scientist. What I'll say is,
I agree.
Here's part of my logic, Mark. Because trust me, I've put this in a spreadsheet, brother. Okay. You take a modern higher end Chromebook and you're going to spend high $300. Okay. they're pushing the Android apps on the Chrome OS, and I'm sorry, it's not going to be a great experience for probably another year. And I'm saying that being conservative, it's probably not going to be a really good experience for 2 years, okay? So I take that $300-ish price point. I totally ignore the Wacom tablet-like features of it. I'm getting a smaller, thinner, lighter device with a touchscreen, with longer battery life, and with seamless, near-perfect Android experience. Because let's all be real now. Chrome OS experience isn't an experience. It's a browser. It's like you chunked off 10% of your desktop and you put it in a laptop because that's all it can do. To me, this is a much more full-featured device for things. And it's only a pound and a half. So I'm almost willing to pay $100, $150 for a better version of a Chromebook with a better Android-like experience. So the idea of a $499 Android laptop running customized Android, not default vanilla Android, is desirable for my use case. And I'll tell you this, I'm able to do everything on Android that I can do, and I do a hell of a lot on computers. The only thing I can't do on Android yet easily is podcast from it and record my local audio on it with higher end hardware. But I've done web page creation, I've done website creation, I've done SSH, I've FTP'd, I've saved, shared, I've streamed.
Let me jump in on that line of thought there. There's a difference between I have done it and I'm comfortable doing that, as this is the only way I do it.
I'm more than, I literally now only come to my computers to podcast. I don't do anything else on any of these computers or my laptop ever.
So
for months, at least.
So months. Your tablet, then your devices must have keyboards, because you're not on screen keyboarding in a spreadsheet.
Yes. Yes, I am.
And you just are a masochist who enjoys pain.
No, I'm niched in my keyboard so hard right now. And this is one of the things me and Christian were talking about, because TouchPal is not a perfect keyboard. It will push full screen ads up on your lock screen if you're not careful, if you don't handle it right. It will put notification adverts in your notification if you don't block them immediately. But I'm so ingrained in the functionality of that keyboard. Most of the things I do on that keyboard, I can do near full keyboard, QWERTY keyboard speeds, but on an Android keyboard. And if I do want to sit there and actually type out on a full keyboard, then I just pull out my Jide that has a good keyboard. Not great, not fantastic, but it has a good keyboard. And I really only do that when I want to type out longer form emails, which I don't do very often. I'm not a typing word person.
That reminds me, Dor, at some point I need you to revisit TouchPal and explain to everybody your copy-paste method. Because I tried the other day, I needed to copy paste a couple things, and I couldn't find the magic sidebar or whatever you talk about.
What I'll do, Eric, is I will hard reset my keyboard back to factory default settings, and I'll do a quick video before next week, and I'll post it.
Awesome.
Because I have had to do that more than one time in the past when there's something in TouchPal that I just can't get back right again. I just nuke and pave.
That's cool.
And Mark, I will fully acknowledge me and computers have a very intimate relationship that I don't expect a lot of people to understand how I get things done and how I'm comfortable getting things done.
So I jumped in really early on the Asus Transformer, the T102 or whatever.
I was right with you.
C101. Yeah, 101. And was super excited about the possibility of bridging that gap between the mobile world and the desktop world. And my problem there was not the hardware. It was stellar hardware for its time. It's certainly very dated today. But the problem was with the interfaces. It just wasn't there yet. For example, there wasn't even a way to edit a Google Doc on a mobile interface at that time. So I need to revisit that experience with a modern tablet. But, you know, at $500 to $600, that's an expensive experiment. But I need to revisit this. But I still just
you have a tablet now, right?
Um,
You have a tablet.
I no longer have a tablet at all. I have my phone. I have an iPad stuffed in a corner somewhere. But I don't, that my kids have 8-inch LG tablets, and that's their life. That's their computing experience. But again, they're not creating. When they need to create something, they go to the desktop in the living room.
I gotta say, I'm more like Dor. These PCs do nothing except for podcasts in my house, but I've evolved with the tablets. I had the Asus Transformer. I had the Nexus 10. I had, both Nexus 7s. I've got a Dell, 2-in-1 now, which is horrible. I can't wait for the next one, but I don't use a PC for anything. Banking, I guess. For some reason, I still like my laptop for my banking, but I don't know if there's a reason why I do that. It's because I don't like my tablet that I have now. The Dell is just so horrible. I don't like it. Hey,
right. Well, I did put a link in the chat real quick. I understand you guys saying you were in the boat early with the Asus Transformer tablet, but that really was nothing more than a crappy tablet with an OK keyboard. If you take a look in the chat to Amazon, the HP SlateBook 14. That's how I was into it. I bought one of those things when they were $500 three or four years ago, because I wanted Android so bad on a laptop, because I knew what I could do. I knew what I could get away with. I knew what was possible with certain applications on Android. Now, then you had to have root to really do a lot of functionality thing. But I went and spent nearly $500 on a HP SlateBook 14-inch for real laptop running Android. And I have no problem telling you guys, it was one of the most horrible experiences in computing life I've ever had. Nothing worked right. The hardware was horrible. The keys, I literally had like two Z's right next to one another. There was no X. I mean, that's the type of quality HP was putting out.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
Nice. Hey, since we're on this, and I wanted to bring this anyway. So this is what Mark's grandma or mom, no, Mark's mom needs. Yeah. So Amazon came out today with pre-orders for their new Fire HD 8. And I don't know if this is an introductory price, but it's $89.99 with free shipping, and it ships on the 21st.
Okay, what's so different about this one?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was a decent price for an 8-inch tablet.
Well, their 7-inch is only $50.
Yeah. This one's got 1.5. I don't know why they do 1.5 gigs of RAM. I wish it had 2, but for some whatever reason, they got 1.5. It's got the Dolby Atmos dual speakers built into it, too. I don't know. I just thought for a good entry-level... Well, my Nexus 7, it's my wife. She commandeered it. The Nexus 7 2013 is starting to get flaky on her. And I know there's a new Nexus or Pixel tablet right around the corner, but yeah. I don't really want to buy that for her. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather just get that for myself.
Right. Well, I'll say one thing about this tablet that I'm kind of impressed by, this Amazon 8-incher, up to 12 hours of battery life. I mean, I know my son's 7-inch Amazon Kindle Fire. I'm sometimes shocked at the length that battery lasts. So that is, I mean, you're not going to get, that's really above and beyond normal battery life on an 8-inch tablet. So that's promising. And it promises at least some level of durability, ruggedness to it, which, you know, you can't go wrong with that, right?
Right. And you can add... SD cards to it, so you don't have to buy the biggest one and run out of room all the time. I thought that's nice. As long as they manage it right. That's one of my biggest complaints about this Dell tablet I have now. It has an SD card, but it doesn't use it correctly. I don't understand how it uses the SD card slot.
Neither
at all,
does Android.
Honestly.
It doesn't. Google doesn't know how it uses the SD card slot, which is why they had it disabled up until just a last version.
Well, Samsung seemed to, my Note 4 used to use it correctly. And use it and make it useful. Like when you took a camera picture, it would go to the SD card. That's kind of all I ask, you know, just kind of normal things to not fill up, you know, music can download to the SD card. That would be good too.
It depends on the application. It depends on the manufacturer, and it depends on the version of Android. Cause like Martin Rambo Bando, he's on a Galaxy 5, I believe. And he just got Marshmallow like 2 days ago. And as soon as he did, his podcast app would no longer save anything to the SD card. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh man, you're going to need Root. You're going to need this. You're going to need that. You're going to need this. You're going to need that. All he did was go into his podcast player, point to save the podcast to a different folder internally. Then he went back and changed it to SD and everything started working again. So that's one of the problems with the SD card, which is Android, which is every device and every OS, you're going to have a slightly different experience on what will and what won't work on the SD card. And that is, to me, nerve-wracking, which is why when I see a 64 gig device, there's a certain calming thing that happens, you know?
Somebody needs to explain to me why the 16 gig device is $89 and the 32 gig device is $120. It doesn't cost $30 to slap 16 gigs more RAM in it. It just doesn't.
Well, it doesn't cost them that much more, but you know, that's how they make
them.
And
then the 64 gig.
They learned this from Apple, where you go from a 32 to a 64 gig, and you charge it's like another extra $142.
I mean, in this case, it's not quite such a gouging. My math was off there. It's only $20 more. So
yeah, it's not that bad.
I mean, but when I can go buy an SD card at Walmart with 64 gigs for, you know, 37 cents and a good morning, I just don't understand why they get away with charging me $20 for it.
That's why they give you the SD card slot, so you don't have to take their abuse. One thing, you know, this also is going to be, it says it doesn't have it this second, but it's going to soon have the Alexa built into it too. So for just like, I don't know, $10-$15 more than the Amazon Tap, I don't know what Dolby Atmos built-in speakers means or sounds, but if they sound decent, I mean, that would make the Amazon Tap and this not too much difference in price, but you get a lot more features with this because it's actually a full tablet you can install apps and do all the stuff on. I've never owned a Fire device, though, and I just think I would be so disappointed not using the Play Store.
You do own a Fire device.
Okay, I mean, not a Fire, the Fire Stick, I don't consider that the same, really. I don't look to that to be my Android device. You know what I'm saying, I guess?
The only thing I got to say is I wish I was the developer of Monument Valley, because when you click on their Alexa thing, one of their examples is Open Monument Valley, which if I was the creator of that app, I would have a lot of satisfaction seeing that there. I'm shocked it took them this long, I'll say that, because Alexa is like the one-click buy now button in interactive form. It lets people seamlessly just buy things on Amazon, which is, you know, fantastic for their bottom line.
It also lets you do, you know, the weather, and there's a lot of other functionality Alexa has other than just being a conduit to Amazon. You can, you know, look up words, you know, like definitions and stuff real quickly. You can get, you know, encyclopedia, you know, pieces like how many people live in Georgia, you know, things like that. It'll answer that kind of stuff. How tall was Abraham Lincoln?
6'4".
Open Candy Crush Saga.
You know, I
tell me a joke.
I just got to say, we're, you know, 20 minutes or whatever into the show called Android App Addicts, and we haven't talked about any Android apps. So maybe we should do that.
No, it's okay. This is hardware, man. There's new hardware.
No, Eric, let's not lie. Me and Eric are both light on apps. but we do have apps.
I was going to bring this. I didn't care if Dor talked for 3 hours about some misspelled Android tablet. I was going to bring this because when they emailed me to this today, this is the thing. Amazon always does this to me. They send me this link. They're like, hey, here's our new thing. Pre-order it now. It's $89.99. I know from history with Amazon and myself, do I order it now? Because if I wait until after the 21st when it releases, it's going to end up being $139.99 like every other, like the Echo. They offered that to me for $99.99 pre-order. When it actually came out, it was $159. So I don't know if this is actually going to be the price.
Okay. I just put a link in the chat real quick because we had somebody in the chat ask, how many Android devices have 128 gigs of internal storage? And this is a perfect example of all the credibility Door-to-Door Geek has ever had in his life. It ain't me, okay? I'm just a conduit. So he says, how many devices have 128 gigs of internal storage? So I put a link in there to productchart.com/tablets. You go there. The very first option is storage. You just slide the slider over to the right, and then you see all the devices disappear off the screen except for like 10 of them. And at least a couple of them are running Windows OS. So then you go down to the OS.
I don't see any of these running click Android. Zero of these are Android.
And then you see everything else disappear. Now, this is not every device. This is every device this website wants to put on that they can direct link to Amazon with an affiliate code onto it.
Mm.
Okay, so this is not every device, but when you push it down to 64, you only see like six devices. And most of them I've never heard of except for the Asus ZenPad, Samsung Galaxy Tab S2, and the other ones I've never heard of.
And that's because Google just does such a good job at cloud that they don't need to have any storage on their devices?
No, I honestly think the difference between 2 gigs and 4 gigs of RAM in an Android device is not the RAM. Okay, when you break that barrier into a larger piece of RAM, there's lots of other things on the board that have to be upgraded along with it for the extra power needs, for the extra allocation needs, for the extra bandwidth to go to that RAM. So that's why, you know, going over that hump took so long. It wouldn't shock me if when you go above 64 gig in storage, there's more stuff on the board that has to be upgraded besides just the storage itself.
That's
just a guess because I have no idea.
Sounds smart. I mean, there's going to be something to it.
It's a great time to be alive, but at the same time, there's a whole lot of, you know, sticking a finger in the air and see which way the wind is going. And it's really easy to buy some crap and pay a lot of money for it. But at the same time, there's these amazing things. It's kind of a, you know, like the...
But the amount of crap you get for the dollar is so much better now. I mean, just think back, you know, buying some IBM PC clone 386 for $1,500. That we're not there no more. I like that.
$1,500 was a cheap one.
You know, that's the one I got. It was crap. No, I don't know. I probably did. It's probably exactly what I spent on my first one.
I think my first one was a used 386, 386, and I went and added, it was an SX, and I went and bought the Math coprocessor. Mm-hmm. So I was Mac Daddy.
Nice.
Did you have a turbo button?
Say again?
Did you have a turbo?
No. Sorry, it's my fault. I'm not hearing you.
Turbo.
Yes.
Did you have turbo?
The turbo button, yeah. Which was actually the most low button is really what it did.
Yeah, but I mean, who in their right mind, what user looked at that turbo button and said, you know, right now, I don't think I need turbo.
Right. I mean,
well, if when I got my first 486 computer, early games were made by timing CPU cycles. So when I got my first 486, a lot of my games were unplayable. And I went and found, this was in the BBS days, right, prior to internet, I found a software called Moslo. And what Moslo did, it was a TSR program, Terminate and Stay Resident. It would run in the background in DOS. And all it would do is give your computer floating point calculations to do to slow it down. And you could set the level of difficulty of the floating point calculation so that you could slow your machine down enough to play your games.
Yeah, and you do remember one of the side effects with that app,
right?
It was
heat, for sure.
It was heat, but also your clock, the longer you would play a game, the more your clock, your literal clock would be off.
I forgot about having to reset the clock every time you turn the computer on.
The only reason I remember is because after a week of playing games, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, it's only 6 o'clock. And no, it was like 7:30 at night, you know, and it literally didn't hit me. Oh my computer is like in a time machine. Time is moving at a different rate of speed for it than me. And it just totally blew my mind.
All right. So, yeah, I agree with you, Mark. Let's go to apps because now we went away from Android tablets and went to
IBM PCs. Just graybeard stuff right there. All right. So, Eric, start us off.
Okay. I've got a game and I don't know. This is a hard read because it seems like I always try to shape shift my games towards Mark to see like, man, if I could just get Mark to install this, that'd be really cool. It makes me feel good. I really don't know about this one. This is called Hidden My Game by Mom by HAP Inc. And
Hidden My Game
by Mom.
By Mom.
Because in the App Store, there's a lot of hidden games. So, but you can find it if you type in hidden game, and it will come up pretty easily, actually. But Hidden My Game by Mom is basically your mom took your Game Boy and she hid it in different places and you have to find it. And all you have to do is tap around and manipulate objects in rooms to find your game. And if you find her first before you find your game, your Game Boy, you lose.
So I see tools being used.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like accrue the tools from room to room?
The tools that I have used have been in the same level, in the same day. I haven't got very far in this game, but I haven't taken a tool from one day into the next day yet.
Okay, well, I'll admit, Eric, I'm at least interested in this game, just because it's different. And I love the fact that the video for the game sucks. And it's literally only like a 30-second video.
Yeah.
Because I don't want long videos, you know.
And the gameplay couldn't be more simplistic. Basically, you tap on things, and things happen.
You know what? I can't find a review to make fun of.
Yeah?
All the reviews are not only reasonable, but actually seem intelligent. So intelligent people like this game.
See, that's why I'm bringing it, Mark.
Here's my favorite one. So stupid. Awesome kind of stupid. Like Nick Cage in Sharknado.
Oh, my.
All right. Installing, Eric. You win.
Yeah.
Yay.
Wow. 12,000 reviews, 4.6 average rating. That's actually kind of high. Only version 1.0.2, which to me is kind of proof. You might not always need to update in a game. Sometimes you just go with what you got. Between 1 million and 5 million installs. Wow. Oh, man. I'm going to say it. I'm installing.
Yay. See, I might not bring the newest, but I make it count.
Well, you brought the, you know, this is like Star Trek V, the Undiscovered Country or whatever, but the Undiscovered app maybe or something.
Right. You made a really serious blunder there. Okay. Star Trek VI was Undiscovered Country. Star Trek V was that which shall not be named, where they go to heaven and find God.
Oh, well, it could have been worse. I could have said Superman 4.
I can't even.
I'm just trying to redeem myself. I'm sorry. Okay. I like Star Trek. I really do. What I'm going to bring is a 3D printer ecosystem app is what I'm going to call it. And I really don't think I brought this, but since I just said that out loud for the first time, I'm starting to think I brought this app already.
I think you brought it last week.
I did bring it last week.
Okay.
So let's not bring that one and let's click over. And what I'm going to do, this is another one of those quote unquote pretty games is what I'm going to say. There's been a lot of things on sale this last week. I'm not bringing them all here tonight, but I did post every sale I saw on something I considered to be decent in the Android App Addicts Google Plus community. So if you want those updates as they come out, you have to join that group. And if you don't want to join that group and you still want those updates, you have to let me know. I'll work with you. We're a team. This is called Star Knight, 66% off, 99 cents, which means it was originally $2.99 if I can actually do math live in a podcast. This is by Left Right. Does have some sort of in-app purchase as well. 6,500 reviews, average rating 4.4, rating between 50,000 and 100,000 install, version 1.1.7. There is a video for this, but I promise you it's not crap. It is a simple game where there's not a lot of buttons. There's left, right, jump, and action. But there's a lot of also movement and action in the screen itself. This is one of those games, the foreground is very bland, very dark, very non-special. The background is where all the beauty is. But the movement of the character is unbelievably fluid and very, very, very well done. This is definitely among the better controlling Android games I've played, where the controls are really spot on. You know what you're doing when you do it, and there's no, guesswork.
That's a very large sword that guy's got.
The gameplay looks very Mario-like, jumping and time and fight, and that's not an insult. I love Mario. Really, I mean, it's familiar and unique all at the same time. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the first couple rounds, to me, there was zero challenge because it was like I've already played the game without playing it before. But very quickly, by like the third or fourth round, things started happening and enemies started acting in ways that I just weren't completely ready for. But it wasn't making me mad, kind of things. It was just, oh, this is different. And yeah, just to me, the gameplay with this was really spot on. This was one I didn't get a chance to put on the GPD handheld unit. But I really do want to, just to see how it flows on there.
Yeah, it looks like some of those dark creative kind of games, but then it does have like a Mario feel to it. Speaking of Mario, though.
Horrible. Go ahead.
Okay, Mario Go, you're not into that?
No, it's not even a Mario game. It's a one-finger game.
Mario Run, I mean, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, it's stupid. It's literally, the level starts, you never stop running forward. All you do is press jump. It's like you're being forced to do a speed
run. So it's Sonic.
Of a game.
Kind of, yes,
but I hate Sonic. And Sonic had more in-depth personality than that game that they're bringing over to iOS first, which, there's no doubt, good on Nintendo. Take that Monet, because Apple right. has more than enough money to pay them for an exclusive. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah, that's what this is for sure.
Yeah, because I'm sure after Pokemon Go success, Tim Cook knew we got to get us some of that.
So we kind of haven't given the listener any idea what we're talking about. Super Mario Run is an iPad and iPhone only game, and we're watching the video.
Well. No. It's coming to Android. I'll post the link there.
It's like the initial exclusivity is only on Android. Is only on iOS, yeah. And we don't know when it's going to come to Android. And to be honest, I'm a Nintendo freak. I have zero interest in playing this game because it's literally a one-finger Mario game. Mario was all about timing and planning out your strategy for the stage, not just pressing one button at the right time. I mean, to me, it's an insult, even though Miyamoto himself was the guy on the stage announcing it, which, of course, if he was here right now sitting next to me, good job, Miyamoto. It's such a good game. So solid. How'd you think of it? It's so unique. But he's not here.
It looks nice. I have to say that. Good looking game.
It better.
So on the new Nintendo that's coming out, would you say they would... No, they got to come out with a real Mario game for that, though. This is not going to be the thing that it comes with. It's got to come with an actual Mario game.
Can I just comment very...
Well, if it does...
Just very briefly on this Engadget article that you linked to. I'm not a great lover of Engadget, but this quote-unquote article is three paragraphs plus a sentence that could have been a tweet. Super Mario Run
yes, there's nothing
is
there.
Coming to Android. That's all you need to know. Everything else is making fun of Samsung, and we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. And this is called an article. But what is on the page is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 27 ads and three paragraphs of text. What does the world come
that's,
to?
It succumbs to money. That's the only thing I can say. And it actually links back to, and I'm never going to pronounce this right, Kotaku, which is honestly, I don't want to say an esteemed, but it's a website with a lot of credit in the Asian gaming information delivery service. And they don't have much more words than that either. The only difference is they have the actual video and GIFs of it.
Well, they did a whole other seven-paragraph article called Nintendo Loses a Little Piece of Its Identity with Super Mario Run. The perpetual runner game is everything Nintendo didn't want. Hmm. So, yeah, and that came out the same day. So they're just, they're adding pages. And same amount of ads, though. Different amount of words.
Well,
All right.
I'll quote Ted DiBiase from mid-'80s WWF professional wrestling. and that is everybody has their price. And I'm guessing Apple turned to Nintendo and just gave them enough money to say, do it. Mm. And I'm sure they were like, this kind of sucks. I don't care. Do you see how much money they're giving us? Okay, I guess we're going
to
do it.
We'll even pay you so much money that the creator of Mario has to come out and say he likes this. That's how much money we're going to give you.
Do you want to buy those new iPad chips to put in your next Nintendo NX? God,
no. There it is. We own all the Gorilla Glass, by the way. All right, I think we're up to Eric now.
No, I brought that crap app called Mario Go or Mario Run.
Okay, so door.
Okay, let me just hit tab. Oh, I'm going to bring you this one again because I don't care. It's a game, but it is pretty is what I'm going to say. $1.99 game. I believe it's normally $7. This was one of the ones I believe that came down a far amount in price. And apparently this is a computer game, I want to say. Because as soon as I posted it, somebody said, might have been Bill Miller, said on Google Plus that their kid plays this on their computer and absolutely loves the game, like on Steam. It's called Never Alone Kai Edition. K-I, want to go with that, Kai Edition, by E-Line Media, 169 reviews, no in-app purchases, everyone 10 and up, $1.99 to buy, 4.5 average reviews, is family library playable, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs, version literally 1.0.0, but I'm going to tell you now, this does not play anything like a 1.0.0. This plays like a version 5.0 or something. It's a very artistic, story-like platformer. Story is literally like a third of this game because everything is portrayed in drawings and in story mode, and then you have some gameplay that mimics that story. It's almost like there's a prophecy written on the side of caves, and they show you the prophecy, and then you are living out the prophecy. It's kind of like that. That's the only way I can really describe it. But when you get to the actual gameplay, silly, crazy, gorgeous, smooth, realistic enough to look really sharp and good, but definitely, animation, cartoon, if you will. Just a really genuinely, as far as I'm concerned, top-notch effort in design and gameplay.
So is this new to Android? Because it says it's on over 75 best of 2014 lists. So if it's 2 years old, how can it be version 1.0? Or maybe they just never went any further.
I want to say it's available on desktops. It is available. Okay, it's available on App Store, Google Play, Steam, GOG, Humble Store, Indiegala, Mac App Store, PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Wii U, and NVIDIA Shield. Oh my. So they evidently put out multiple versions on those other places, and then when they get it tight, they brought it over to Android. That's my only guess.
Really, really nice looking game. If my kids were younger, I'd probably purchase it. Yeah, I'm not sure what the guy's doing in the screenshots, though, showing how big is the fish he almost caught was. That's kind of weird. But it does. It looks like it. Does it kind of like draw out in the cave figures what you're supposed to do, and then you go and do it?
Yeah, video, but it seemed like almost that. Like, was it Ice Age 2, I believe, where the horrible comedian Ray Romano's family loses his wife. Sad, sad, tear, tear. Dennis Leary. Yeah, that thing. Yeah, to me, this is a good example of spending $1.99 and getting enough eye beauty. It's easily $1.99 worth.
So how long did you have a chance to play it?
Maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I gave it to my oldest son, who seemed to enjoy it.
I'm looking through a lot of the comments, and a standard theme is that the controls are laggy and sticky.
I don't know. It's got a lot of 5-star reviews for only having...
I'll say this. I loaded it on my Zenfone, and before the loading screen got done, I exited it out, and I didn't touch it again till I was back on my OnePlus. And I can tell you, in the loading screens alone, it was clearly a different experience. much better, much smoother on the OnePlus. So it doesn't shock me.
One of the comments says, I'd like my money back. I've been stuck for over a week. Can't find a way out. That means the game's good. That means they're doing their job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And to be honest, I don't know if you guys had this. I had to sit my kids down and explain to them, games are not supposed to be easy. If they were easy, they wouldn't be called games. They'd be called activities. The idea of a game to me is you can lose and you cannot beat it is a definite possibility.
I never had to have that talk. I get my butt handed to me thoroughly on every game I put in front of my kids that I try to play against them on something.
I was going
to
download it, but it doesn't work on my Motorola. Bummer. Does work on my Nexus 5, so it'll work on a 3-year-old phone, but not a 10-month-old phone.
Well, what I would encourage you to do, Mark, if you, and I mean this only if you literally had genuine interest in it, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, ping it again, take a peek at it. It might be one of those things, gaining support with time. And every time I see an early version number, I believe there is some truth when I say that. I'm not going to say it's the truth, but I do think there's some truth when I say that.
I believe that is.
Well, good. That makes one.
All right, Eric, yeah. What do you got for us?
If Dor says it's real, I believe. I got another game. Must be a theme today. And this one, you probably aren't going to install because it's kind of a crap app. It's one of those games by the big companies that's there to suck your money. And I would never give any money to it, but it's called Fairway Solitaire. Basically, it's a combination of golf and solitaire. If both of those things are really what you're into, you'll love this game. I'm not really.
What do you mean if?
I'm not really into either. Oh, okay. Since both of those things are really what you're into, you're going to love this game. I'm not into either of them much, but it kept my interest, and it almost actually kept my interest too long that I wasn't ready for the show. So it is a little bit addictive. It's just simple card games where you basically, it's not like solitaire where you're dealing out your own cards. It's basically, there's a deck of cards, there's a bunch of cards up on this golfing landscape, and all you have to do is get the card higher or lower by one card. The next card, you've got one card facing up. Your next, you have to play cards that are higher or lower than that by one, and that's it. And you got a golf bag with numbers, and that's like free kind of wild cards, I guess, a little bit. Or if you need a three right then, you can pull a three club out and use it, and it turns into a three card instead of a three iron. I don't know.
So it's dumbed down.
Yes.
Solitaire?
It's dumbed down solitaire, yeah. With a golfing theme, with a lot of whippoorwills playing in the background if you get your sound up.
Yeah. I don't get it. Maybe you.
This is that.
Maybe you have to be there.
Huh?
Maybe it's one of those where you have to be there. I don't.
You have to be there. Yes. Yes. You do have to be there. I played.
I mean,
I played
it's pretty.
This held my interest 10 times longer than the other app I brought with the Find Your Game because your mom hit it. I'm just saying, it did.
Okay.
And it's noted that, okay, it's noted. And in one of the screenshots, the background looks like a blatant yet inaccurate ripoff of the British
Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
You know, Eric, I got to download this one just out of sheer curiosity. So you got me two in one night.
Dang, yes.
Well, I can bring one that I know that you're not going to download, if that helps.
Hey, curious, though. Did you guys play the higher or lower game from last week at all?
I have not been in a party situation, but I have it waiting for that.
Okay.
I avoid parties because I'm a nerd. It seemed like it really wanted audio badly, and I insist on listening to podcasts during anything that I'm doing, except going to the bathroom, of course.
You don't listen to podcasts?
So there's no audio. There's no audio to that game.
No.
The higher or lower game.
You sure?
There's no audio to it.
Okay, then I'll download it again.
It's one of the only games I think I've ever brought that has zero audio.
Okay. And no, Mark, when I'm going to the bathroom, I'm a unitasker.
It's all business. No games.
All business.
I'm gonna hold back my high scores from you then, and
we'll save that for later. You're serious about that, Mark?
I wasn't. That's one of the fun things with this whole.
Okay, well, I'm gonna tell you right now, a screenshot will be required, and there better be something in that navigation and in the notification area that indicates this is not just anybody's device. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, another...
like a Voxer notification up there.
Another bonus about this game is it holds your high score. So at any time you can just bring it out and say, hey, look at that.
You can screenshot and...
Well, I can screenshot it too. That's fine.
Photoshop on Android. Photoshop is on Android.
I can hold it up in front of my webcam during the podcast and show you too. But so far, my higher score is higher than my wife's. Just saying.
So you don't play together. Okay. You're individually playing.
No, no, we play together. I mean, I was holding the phone and she was answering higher or lower earlier tonight. And I thought she was going to beat me, but she choked on something.
So what you're saying, putting on the lawyer hat. So what you're saying, Eric, is that score actually could be your wife's score and we would have no way of knowing.
Just so that we're all clear.
Eric, please, the court only needs a yes or no answer.
Just so that we're all clear, that could be, but I'm, I'm umbrella. I wouldn't do that to you guys. And if I would give her credit if it was due, which it isn't.
That's the title for the show. I would give her credit if it was due, but it isn't.
Give her credit too. Hold on, I gotta write that down because I will forget it. And see, because I don't have that super quiet keyboard, I would give her credit if it was due,
..
But
it isn't.
Okay, Google, take a note. I would give her credit if it was due, but it isn't.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so I'm going to bring an app that you're not going to download, Mark, I'm going to guess, because you are a American, what do they call it, egg in hand fan, and not a... Premier League or FIFA League soccer football fan. But I will say FIFA is one of those things, regardless of your appreciation or lack thereof of the game, you have to admit there has been at least one soccer game in your past on a gaming thing that you thought was either kind of cool or it could have been kind of cool. And this is a FIFA game that I gotta say... it's a quote-unquote genuine FIFA game with real people's names, blah, 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 which means they paid off the bribes and they paid all the illegal money to the illegal company to do illegal things. And I'm saying that because what are they going to do to me? They're all in jail. But this is a very good, in my opinion, top-down, three-quarter angle view, but then it does go into more close-up views. But this right now is in pre-registration phase only. And unfortunately, it's by EA Sports. I'm personally believing EA, and I hate to use this word, and if Cody Cooper's anywhere, I'm literally like a voodoo doll putting a dagger right in his heart by saying this word. I do believe EA is starting to make a crucial pivot, and they're putting a lot more serious attention into mobile platforms for money. So I can believe this FIFA mobile game will not be free, and if it is free, it will have heavy in-app purchases. But I also expect this to be a pretty decent FIFA experience.
So, did you pre-register then?
Oh yeah,
yeah. What's it hurt to do?
How does it have 26,000 reviews? I mean, excuse me, 2,600 reviews. If it's in pre-release, I don't understand.
Maybe they're part of a private beta, aka maybe they work for EA.
I don't know. There's some negative reviews in there.
I know, but still. I mean, if I had my family doing reviews, I would insist one of them, you got to do a bad review. You got to make it look real.
I think it's just not released to America yet, because a lot of these reviews are, you know, they're writing, they spell the word fiber with E at the end, and then other ones are just straight not in English at all.
So what you're saying is that they misspelled it?
No. Well, yeah. Aluminium.
And the names back that up. A lot of Mohammeds and Yees and Emmanuels. So that sounds reasonable. I'm gonna go with that.
It looks nice. It ain't no Tecmo Bowl. You know, pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say here's one good thing that if you do keep your eye on this app, you will notice. Once it gets out of pre-registration, all those reviews are going to appear to disappear. because when you do a major version release as an Android developer, you can actually hide, not hide, you can push further down old reviews, because you don't want reviews from version 1 to get in the way of your version 4 app.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Android does do that.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a good place to stop it. Is there anything else that you just absolutely have to talk about?
I'm okay for tonight. We'll save the rest for next week.
Well, let's interrupt this broadcast for a paid sponsorship from a sponsee that we have to do because, you know, we like money. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
We don't have any paid sponsors.
We didn't do that earlier, though. We should have done at least three by now.
Well, this should have been our fourth by now. We do have a new Patreon subscriber that I can't seem to
Jeffrey find. Wiest. Thank you, Jeffrey, for your pledge.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I cannot encourage you guys enough. If there's more stuff you want, and I know I've been saying this almost to a fault, if there's more stuff you want, you have to let us know. And I've said that for a while, and nobody has ever asked for anything except for the one question that you people will never stop asking. Can you say the name of the app more?
Yeah.
that's just, I mean, we would love to. I've explained this before. We would love to say the name of the app more. And probably we'd love to say it at the beginning and the end of every app we bring. We just have not been physically able to make that happen. And it makes me sad to even bring it up again, because I've strived, and there's only certain things that I falter on in this life I've got going on, and that is one of the main things right there. Hey, I did want to mention that Scott did get his cardboard. He emailed us. He got the day before yesterday. He's already been having fun with it, and he started off with Roller Coaster, and he's looking for more VR apps. So I'm gonna start going back into some more VR apps, and hopefully I can score some more cardboards cheap and maybe give some more away too. And if you haven't got one and you're itching, go get one. They're neat.
I'd just like to point out that there are three hosts to the show, and he said I'd like to thank you both. You know, just saying, but you really shouldn't leave Dora out like that.
I don't know what he. Go back to the email.
Who said that?
No, Scott, I think Jeffrey? It's because we were emailing back and forth with him, Dora and I. We tag teamed him on emails.
It's just not fair to leave Dora out like that. I got to speak up for him.
Dor, can you start forwarding Mark the emails so he can help be part of the conversation?
I do my best. I'll say, I didn't catch that, Mark. Good eye. I'm going to miss somebody, but I'm now to the point where I don't care. Okay, guys like Ali, guys like Bill Miller, guys like Morton, guys like Tom Zach, all those guys who come into the Android App Addict Google Plus community, Richard Quern, and just once in a while even post anything. You got to think of it like this. We're not in the military and our kids are not at war. No news is not good news. Once in a while, seeing a posting from anybody is a good feeling. And when you got people like Bill Miller and Tom Zach and Soham, which I'm going to pronounce your name wrong forever. I'm sorry, Soham. I cannot thank you guys enough. You guys literally entertain me and give me a certain amount of joy. And, you know, when you go to Patreon and pledge, trust me, it does it as well. It's just really nice of you guys, and it really does help us out immensely because we don't like stopping the show every 20 minutes. Can you imagine how long the show would be? We had to stop every 20 minutes and pitch something that we really didn't believe in, but they made us an offer we couldn't refuse, kind of thing. And, you know, we're journalists and we don't have integrity. Did I say that out loud?
We might work for a website that puts up a two paragraph article with 17 ads.
Yeah. Which harkens back to the whole reason why I'm okay with ad blockers. You can have all the ad blockers you want, because it doesn't affect Podnuts whatsoever. Because the only ads we have come from our own website, or they're in the middle of audio. So go ahead. Good luck with your ad blockers.
All right.
Ad blockers are meant for the ads that need to be blocked.
You know, that's a good way to put it. And I think the ad blocker people feel the same way. You know, the AdBlock Plus guys, they have their whitelist. And yeah, I think you can pay to be on the whitelist, but the real impetus behind it is, you know, jerks get blocked, other people don't.
Yep. Kind of like natural selection meets intelligent design.
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
I'm not sure.
I think it happened.
I just for a split second thought it sounded good.
There's a pond in Maryland that Dorf frequents, and that's straight from whatever's going on in that pond.
All right, I'm going to pull the plug on it. Thanks for hanging out with us, listener. Eric Dorr, as always, thank you for being the excellent host that you are. Thanks for letting me be a part of it. And I will say, because we only had a few of them, I can do it. Hidden My Game by Mom by Hap Inc. Star Night by Left Right. Never Alone Key Edition by E-Line Media. Fairway Solitaire by Big Fish Games. And FIFA Mobile Soccer by Electronic Arts. Those were the apps. And also we talked about the Amazon Fire HD tablet, the HP Slate notebook, and the yoga book from Lenovo. So there you go. All repeated for you.
Wow. Very well. Wow, man, that's great.
See, that alone, we better get a frigging Patreon pledge this week. I'm just telling you, people.
That's why we got these fancy announcer brought into the show, just for that kind of stuff.
I feel like a secretary at a city hall meeting. I've got to take notes.
Hey. Watch what you're saying there.
You know, just saying. All right, that's it. See you later. That's it for this episode of Android App Addicts. Bye now.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.